Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a beautiful start of December. I know that we've had a few of those days and a few more coming up. But praise the Lord. What a beautiful time to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Whether or not Jesus was born on December 25th is not the point. You know, the point is that he was born. I mean, here's the thing. Whether the day you were told was your birthday, you were there when it happened, but you don't remember the day. But the thing is, we all have plenty of evidence that you're here. We can pinch you and know you're here. Well, I got to tell you, we know Jesus is here. We know Jesus got here. We know Jesus arrived here on planet Earth. So we choose to celebrate December 25th, but whether that was the actual day or not is really immaterial. Thank God we know Jesus got here. And let me tell you, somebody else who got here, my wife got here. On this day, a certain number of years ago, my wife got here. So if you see her after service, you can say, happy birthday. Hey. Praise the Lord. Well, y'all ready for the word today?
Yes.
Well, let's do some digging in here. I want to talk to you about what I would call Christmas, the celebration of a fresh start. Christmas, the celebration of a fresh start. How many of you know that this world we lived in needed a fresh start? It started good. It went good for a little while, but then something happened. And something happened that caused this world we live in to really need a fresh start. And let's go ahead and take a look at one scripture here. This is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21 and 22. It says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Hey. And this idea of the fresh start that we experience here in the Christmas season has to do with this. That there wasn't just the first Adam that came and messed things up. But there was the last Adam who came to rescue us from the mess. Come on now. And I want to talk to you in this context, since our title is Christmas, the celebration of a fresh start. But looking at that fresh start from the understanding of what happened because of the first Adam and how Christ, who is identified in Scripture as the last Adam, came and rescued things. So we're going to go ahead and kind of get a bird's eye view, a big overview of things today. But I believe that this is going to go ahead and bless you and open up your eyes to some things. First of all, let me say this. Jesus, who we call the last Adam and the first Adam, the first man who was created by God, both of them were identified in Scripture as sons of God. You know, in Luke chapter 3, you've got Jesus in the Jordan River being baptized by John, and the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And right in the very end of that chapter, you see a genealogy that a lot of people believe is Mary's side of the family, going all the way back from Mary all the way back to the beginning. And so you see this person, the son of this person, the son of this person, the son of this person. But then you get to the end of it and you see Enosh, the son of Seth, Seth, son of Adam, Adam, son of God. Right there in Luke chapter 3. And so both the first Adam and the last Adam are referred to in Scripture as sons of God. And both came into the world through special means. Did you know that? The first Adam came into the world through a special means because he wasn't born. He was created. He was spoken into existence. And he wasn't born because there was nobody else here. He was the first. So he needed to be created. Now, I remember one time in Bible school, some people wanted to have a discussion about whether Adam had a belly button or not. And even then, though I was young and green, I knew we got time for bigger fish to fry than this, y'all. But Adam did come into this world through special means. He came into the world by being created by God. But the second Adam, the last Adam, should I say, not the second Adam, some people use that term, but the scriptural term for Jesus is the last Adam, being last because nobody else needs to come again. He did what he needed to do, got done what he needed to get done. It is settled. It is over. It is finished. You ever heard that line before? Hey. But the last Adam came into the world by special means as well. He came in by means of a virgin birth. God talked about that right in the beginning, right there in the Garden of Eden, right after the fall of man. God referred to the seed of the woman and the hostility that would happen between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And then he went on to declare that the serpent would, the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but that the seed of the woman would crush his head. Now, let me say this. If you want to get an injury of some kind, you'd prefer a heel injury over a head injury. And the reason why, because a heel injury, yeah, you can recover from that. But a head injury, oh, that can be fatal. Glory to God. And so God's talking about the seed of a woman, but if you know a little bit of something about how things work, women don't have seed. Men have seed. So how can we have the seed of a woman? Because this is the first thing God spoke out that we are aware of that predicted what we know as the virgin birth. Isaiah spoke of it in chapter 7, verse 14 of his book, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. And we know that Emmanuel means God with us. And it's interesting, I love this perspective that the book of Hebrews gives. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, if we can take a look at that, it says, therefore, when he, talking about Jesus, came into the world, he said, now, first of all, notice this. He came into the world, that means he came from somewhere, which means he was somewhere before he got here. Pre-existing. Hey, hallelujah. Because he... Actually, Micah in his book, prophesying about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, said that this is the one whose going forth has been from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, this boy, he's having his physical start in Bethlehem, but in reality, he never even had a start. Because he's from everlasting and he's to everlasting. Hallelujah. So we see that Jesus came into the world, meaning that he was very much existing prior to coming here, and he said something. What did he say? He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Yeah. So he had the awareness that even though it was the best system that God could have at the time to connect with people, that God's ultimate was not this sacrificial thing that he had going on through the law of Moses. And even prior to that, where there would be a sacrifice offered up to the Lord, you see that even as far back as early in Genesis, you see, I mean, Cain and Abel, that dispute was over a sacrifice. So going back to the very beginning, you see this idea of a sacrifice. But ultimately, none of those were the ones that God was looking for. The one that God was looking for was not going to be done through the body of a lamb or a ram. The one God was looking for was going to be done through the body of Jesus Christ. And what did he say? Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And so here we are, the first Adam and the last Adam, here in a body, and really as representatives of the human race, the success or the failure that they would have would determine the success or the failure of the rest of us, because the rest of us were in them. So that first Adam, oh boy, made in the image of God, that last Adam, he just downright was the image of God. So we see Adam, the first Adam, being referred to as being made in the image of God. We see the last Adam being called the actual image of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 and other places, look at Colossians 1:15 real quick. It says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. But that first Adam, what happened is that he missed the mark. You know, the word sin is a term that actually means that, missed the mark. So if you're thinking about archery, that means you're going for the bullseye and you missed. That bullseye was where you needed to hit, what you needed to accomplish, but by going to the left or going to the right and not hitting that bullseye, that's called missing the mark. That's what sin is. And God's word was the bullseye. God's command to man was the bullseye. And when man decided, well, I might know a little bit better, and went left or went right, what did he do? He missed the mark. He missed the bullseye. And what happened when man sinned? The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when man sinned, he fell short of the glory. Now, what did the last Adam do? The last Adam came to restore man to glory, to the original manufacture scheme or no manufacturer settings. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. Are you with me? So those manufacturer settings got skewed when the first man sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But the last Adam was going to do what was necessary to restore man back to manufacturer settings. Praise the Lord. Restore man to glory. And that's why we call the Bible the story of glory. Are you ready for this? Oh, you come on now. Are you ready for this? All right, I'm getting you ready for something. Now here's the thing. I'm not looking to diminish glory in my little definition today, but there's so much to it. It's a hard thing to pinpoint down to one thing, because it's covering the presence of God, the weightiness of God, W-E-I-G-H-T, the weightiness of God. But something I had dropped in my heart today that I don't mean to diminish it, but it just seemed a good way for us to grasp it for the context of our message here today, it's part of the wow factor of God. The wow factor of God. In the Old Testament, when it talked about the glory of God coming in the temple, nobody could get up and hardly move, because the glory of God was that thick, his presence was that thick in the place. And so the Bible being the story of glory, I want you to know this, that the Father of glory sent the Lord of glory to save man, who was initially crowned with glory and honor, but sinned and fell short of the glory. Come on now. But then Jesus took the glory that the Father had given him and gave it to those who would place their faith in him. Jesus actually brought sons again to glory, and that we are now transformed into his image from glory to glory, and will ultimately stand before him and be presented before him as a glorious church. That is the story of glory, that the Father of glory, come on, here we go again, sent the Lord of glory to save a man who initially was crowned with glory and honor, but sinned and fell short of the glory. Hey, and then Jesus came And what did he do? He took the glory that the Father had given him and gave that to those that believed on him. He actually brought sons again to glory. And these sons and daughters are now transformed into his image from glory to glory and will ultimately be presented before him as a glorious church. Now, because you're in him, you have the glory gene. You are a carrier of his glory. It is. It's not yours. But you and I get to be a carrier of the glory of God. Somebody go somewhere and be glory ready to happen. Glory ready to manifest. Come on now. Hallelujah. So as we're going to look at it today, you can say this, that the whole Bible is literally about two men. The first Adam and the last Adam. Which, one way or the other, you are part of the Adams family. Someone snap. All right. One way or the other. Oh, boy. What did I get started here? Now, Adam was the master. Adam was the master off of which all the other copies were made. So we're talking about the first Adam now. He was the master copy, shall we say, the master off of which all the other copies would be made. God created him a perfect master. All right? But Adam allowed himself to become defective through sin. And therefore, that same defect was passed on to all the other copies. That's how we got in the mess we're in. So what would God do with all these bad copies? My. He would send us someone who would take the root cause of those defects upon himself, take them away, which is what he did. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hey. So he would take away those defects, but he himself, though he bore those defects upon himself, he took them away and stands before God as qualified to serve as the new master without defect. And now those that place their faith in him, they're not now copied off of that first fallen master. They are now copied off of this new master who is without defect. Oh, yeah. This is the fresh start that Christmas brings to you. When you celebrate Christmas, this is what you're celebrating. Hey, glory to God. Woo! You want to have a fit or a benefit or something? Glory to God. That's good news. So, thank God that Jesus took upon himself all those defects, the root cause of the defects, took them away, served as the new master. And now when copies are made off of the new master, those that place their faith in him, glory to God, they don't get the defects that were in that first Adam. They become new creatures. Placing your faith in the death and the resurrection of Christ causes your old defective condition to be erased and causes you to be new creations. So you see, a person has to be not born the first time. When you're born the first time, you automatically, you were in with the first Adam. The minute you were born, the minute you breathe, yep, that was identification with the first Adam. Infection with the same mess that he had, defected with the same defects he had, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to get free of the effects of the defects. You know what I'm saying? So when we're copied off Jesus, the new master, we are not copied with defects because there's no defect in him. We're now enjoying the nature of the new master inside of us. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 that we're partakers of the divine nature. 1 John 4, 17 says this, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And you might say, wow, if I didn't know that was in the Bible, that'd be a hard thing to believe. But it's in the Bible, so we need to believe it. Glory be to God. Now, I want to read some of Paul's writings where he got into this on quite a deep level. And I just want to take our time with it. We're going to go ahead and read a pretty lengthy portion of scripture here. But I believe that this is going to go ahead and be beneficial to us, because I believe that we're going to leave here with some insight, with our eyes enlightened, with the ability to see things on a level that we've not seen before. So I'm going to go ahead and get out of the way here for a minute so y'all can have a good view of all these verses we're about to read, all right? 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 45. Are you ready? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Anybody get in on some of that life? Hallelujah. All right. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So you see, Paul's starting to draw that distinction, in some ways a parallel and in some ways a distinction, between the first man, Adam, and Jesus, who is the last Adam, all right? Now, we're going to go ahead and read another portion of scripture. This is Romans 5. And we're going to start with verse 12 there. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Anybody have a wild guess who that might have been? That was Adam, the first Adam. Through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So right there, what we just read, the Bible says that Adam was a type of him who was to come. Adam, referring to the first Adam. So who is this one who was to come? That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So the scripture is clearly saying here that Adam himself was a type of the Lord Jesus. Of course, the Lord Jesus did a whole lot better job than the first Adam did. We know that. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more, which means not much less, and which means not on the same level as, he said much more. Much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, not much less, not on the same level as, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now, I want to focus in particularly on several translations of verse 15 and 16. And so you've got some slides back there. I think it's called slide 1, slide 2, slide 3, and slide 4. And so we're going to go in order. This is a blend of translations of Romans 5, 15, and 16. You ready? Check this out. What came through Jesus is not like what came through Adam. What came through Adam was forced on to all his descendants, and they had no choice in the matter. What came through Jesus is received voluntarily through faith. Adam's one offense brought judgment, which resulted in all of us being guilty. Jesus bore our many offenses so that we could receive his free gift and be declared not guilty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this deal we got with the first Adam, you know, when you were born, you weren't asked, all right, do you sign in or do you sign out? Do you opt in or do you opt out? No, just the fact that you were born in this fallen world, it was, you had no choice in the matter. You were in the mess because you were in Adam when he fell, so therefore everybody that was in Adam when he fell is fallen as well. That's why it's so important to identify with Christ. Because when you identify with Christ and you put your faith in him, you're saying, when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised, I was raised. When he was seated, I was seated. And when you're identifying with him, woo, you get a better deal, a whole lot better deal than the first one gave you. All right, check this out. This is Romans 5:16, a portion of this from the Lampsa translation. It says, the effect of the gift of God was greater than the effect of the offense of Adam. Somebody meditate on that for a minute. You see, we are so trained in our thinking to think that the way it is in this world is just the way it is, and it's going to be the way it is, and someday in the sweet by and by, we'll be able to get out of this mess. And so we think of ourselves as mere men. We think of ourselves as just mere men and women, and that there's nothing special and nothing exceptional. I want you to know we have, without knowing it, we've downplayed what the Bible calls the new creation. We've downplayed that. We've not recognized it for what it is. In whatever way, we've diminished it in our mind. We've diminished it in our paradigm, our way of seeing the world. But I want you to know that the effect of the gift of God is not less than, it's greater than. You remember that little thing? You know, the greater than and less than? Well, we're not talking about this. We're talking about this. I mean, how big can we get to emphasize this? The effect of the gift of God was greater than the effect of the offense of Adam. That means that what Jesus did as your representative, what Jesus did as a person representing the whole human race, has a bigger impact, a greater impact, even than what the first Adam did. And what the first Adam did, obviously, is global. So it was big. It impacted everybody. But the effect of what Jesus did is greater. Meditate on that. Think about that. See the world through those glasses, somebody. All right? This is Romans 5:15. This is the Goodspeed translation. But there is no comparison. There is no comparison between God's gift and that offense. For if one man's offense made the mass of mankind die, God's mercy and his gift through given through the favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, have far more powerfully affected mankind. Mankind is far more powerfully affected by what Jesus did than what by the first Adam did. Oh, come on, somebody. Here we go. Now let's look at one more. This is Romans 5:15. This is out of the Weymouth translation. And this says this: but God's free gift immeasurably outweighs. Immeasurably. You can't measure how much it outweighs, the free gift outweighs the transgression. For if through the transgression of the one individual, the mass of mankind have died, infinitely greater is the generosity with which God's grace and the gift given in his grace, which found expression in the one man, Jesus Christ, have been bestowed on the mass of mankind. Infinitely greater. Infinitely greater. How many of you are familiar with the term infinity or infinitely? How many remember to infinity and beyond? Was that Buzz Lightyear? Yeah. All right. But hey, I'll tell you this. There's just no measuring this. You cannot measure that what Jesus did as a representative of the entire human race has a greater, greater, greater impact on your life than the mess that the first Adam got you in. Amen. But the thing is that we have this choice to make, because what happened to the first Adam got forced on us, whether we liked it or not. What happened to Jesus does not get forced on you. What happened to Jesus is not a matter of something being forced or coerced, you're being coerced into. But rather, you accept it and walk into it and step into it by faith. Praise God. So, which Adam do you identify with? That's a buzzword in these days we're living in. How do you identify? Oh, don't get me started. But let me say this. Which Adam do you identify with? That choice is yours. And we must refuse the thinking and believing that what the first Adam did had a greater impact on us than what the last Adam did. You see, when we think in terms of the first Adam having a greater impact, that means when it gets to this time of year, we just say, well, whatever's coming around, you can be sure it's going to go ahead and come to our house. Because that's the way of thinking. The way of thinking is that, you know, here we are in this fallen world, and, you know, whatever sickness is blowing around is going to go ahead and blow into my house, and there's nothing you can do about it. The kids will bring it home. The dog will bring it home. Somebody will bring it home, you know? And that is a mentality that thinks that the effect of what happened to Adam is greater than the effect of what happened through Adam is greater than the effect of what happened through Jesus. But when you think of what Jesus did as having more of an impact on you than what the first Adam did, then when that kind of stuff tries to get into your house, you get a little attitude on. Hand on the hip, somebody? I don't think so. Messing with your kids? Oh, no, you didn't. Come on now. You get your Holy Ghost attitude on and say, not in my house, because I am impacted more by what Jesus did than by what the first Adam did. It's a mindset. You see that? It's a mindset. And part of us studying this today is for the purpose of having our minds renewed. Have your minds renewed to see yourself not in the first Adam, but to see yourself in Christ. Because Christmas has given us a fresh start. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's keep on going. Both the first and the last Adam, both of their actions would affect the whole human race. both the first Adam and the last Adam being the Lord Jesus Christ, stood as a representative of the whole human race, and their success or their failure would have an impact on all of us. Obviously, we know that the first Adam failed. And the enemy would have loved nothing more but to have seen the failure of the last Adam, because if the last Adam failed, hope for us being saved would have been out the window, because there was no other plan. There was no other one worthy. Is anyone worthy? You know we were saying that today? No one else. Anybody's blood that could be shed for us? Nope. Any other options? Nope. It was all riding on Jesus. Glory to God. It was all riding on Jesus. So Adam was the representative of the human race. His decision to obey or disobey God had lasting results on all mankind to follow. Because he disobeyed God, the effects of that transgression were passed on to every person. Adam fell, and we fell with him. But conversely speaking, Jesus is called the head of a new race. Revelation 3:14 actually calls him the beginning of the creation of God. Now, what does that mean? It obviously does not mean Jesus was created, because Jesus is identified in Scripture as creator. So you can't be created if you're creator. But what it does mean is that Jesus was the first one who is considered part of this new creation race. He was the first one who went from a case of being separated from God to being reunited with God. He was the first. He was the one who said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he literally was separated from his Father. But thank God that separation was only temporary and not eternal, because he was reunited once again with his Father. Thanks be to God. And he was the first one to experience that being reunited. But he wasn't the last, because Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. He's called the firstborn among many brethren. That means we're part of the many. He was the firstborn in the family, but we got in there too. Hallelujah. That means we also experience that same kind of being reunited with the Father, where we were disconnected from him and there was a gap in between. But Jesus, being the mediator, bridged the gap between fallen man and a holy God. And us fallen men and women had no other way of getting there. I mean, there was a big gap and nothing in the world we could do. But somebody who was God so he could connect with God, and somebody who was man so he could connect with man, bridged the gap for fallen man. And now, rather than there being a big gap, we were once reunited with the Father. And you can sing that old love song, reunited, and it feels so good. Because it does feel good to be reunited with your Heavenly Father. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Mm. And if you think about Googling it, it's a peaches and herb. Just saying. I love having fun with y'all. Before anybody Googled anything. All right. Thank God that Jesus' decision to obey God has had everlasting results on those who place their faith in him. And the positive effects of his obedience are now passed on to all those who by faith are joined to him and become in him. We died with him, we're buried with him, we're raised with him, and we're seated with him. Now, the first Adam, he was tempted, and he failed the test. The last Adam got tempted too, but he didn't fail the test. He remained sinless. He kept on hitting the mark. You remember we talked about the mark before, hitting that bullseye? Jesus never missed the bullseye. He was the one identified as, in the book of Hebrews, as the one who is tempted in all points like we are, yet he was without sin. And Jesus had to do what Adam failed to do in order to annul what Adam did. Oh, come on. Jesus had to do what Adam failed to do in order to annul or to make void what Adam did. And he did it. Where Adam failed, Jesus succeeded. Hallelujah. See, the first Adam failed the test. The last Adam passed the test. You know, there were big decisions made in two gardens. Big decisions. The Garden of Eden, where the first Adam was, he made a big decision there, and it was the wrong one. Imagine this, that the serpent is talking to Eve, and the Bible literally says that Adam was there with her. And rather than being a man and saying, this ain't happening in my garden, you're out of here, don't be talking to my wife anymore, he sat there and let it happen. Now, all of us guys think, well, if I was him, I'd have told that serpent what to do, where to go, and how to get there. But, you know, it's easy to say that. You know, we'll never know that answer. But the thing is that Adam allowed that to happen right there in his garden. Right there in the garden that God put him in, he allowed that to happen. So he made the wrong decision in his garden. But Jesus was in a garden as well. Jesus was in a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he had to make a choice there as he was confronted with the choice of whether to go ahead and call down 12 legions of angels, which would probably be equivalent to about 72,000 angels that could come and just wipe these guys out. But no, he made the choice, not my will, your will be done. And this body you've prepared for me was intended to be the sacrifice rather than lambs and rams. That sacrifice is me. The only way to cure this problem once and for all, it's got to be me. And Jesus in his garden made the right call. Come on now. And talk about gardens. You know that when Jesus was rose from the dead and Mary was there, it said Mary supposed him to be the gardener. I want you to know he is the gardener, because the scripture calls us the trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord. There's good stuff happening in this garden. Hallelujah. And it was the right decision that Jesus made in his garden that resulted in us being able to enjoy salvation now in this time and eternity to come, thank God. So they both encountered gardens, but let me tell you this. They both encountered trees. Yeah, Adam had a tree to deal with. The tree that he should have stayed away from, called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So when it came to the first Adam's tree, he totally blew it. But when it came to the last Adam, thank God, he handled his tree just the way it needed to be treated. His tree was the cross. Don't you know the wording of Scripture in Galatians 3:13, where it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that he was made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Thank God. One tree got the human race in trouble, and one tree rescued the human race, somebody. And think about this. God loves using pictures to try to get something in our mind and help us to see it. And God in the book of Exodus used a picture. As just after the children of Israel were miraculously delivered, crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground, got to the other side, Pharaoh and his army right behind them, all those walls of water went pshh. All the Israelites saved, the Egyptian army drowned. And they had a praise party. They celebrated, they beat tambourines, they danced, they had church. And forgot about church in a few days when they went to a place where the water wasn't good. They ended up at this place called Mara. And it said at this place called Mara, the water was bitter. God instructed Moses to do something. He took a tree and he cast it into the water. And when he did, those bitter waters were made sweet. Ooh, I mean, it tasted better than Poland Spring and Aquafina and Evian and anything else you can think of. I mean, better than the stuff that comes right out of melted snow off a mountaintop. These waters were perfect. What happened? God told him to put the tree in the water. You think, what on earth does that have to do with anything? Well, I told you God's using a picture here, and God wants to get the picture across to us that whatever is bitter in your life, you need to involve the tree in that. Because the tree, that being the cross, has the solution for everything that's bitter in your life. It's the solution for sin in your life. It's the solution for sickness in your life. It's the solution for depression in your life. It's the solution for every need that mankind has. Glory be to God. Somebody get the tree involved. Somebody get the tree involved. And what is bitter will be made sweet. My. So much more we can talk about. But I want to land on something right here. Thank you, Lord. That the hope offered by the last Adam is for everybody. Just like the problem that mankind has experienced because of the fall of the first Adam has affected everybody. Everybody has available to them the solution through the last Adam. Look at Acts 17:26 real quick. This talk about creation that he, that being God, has made from one blood every nation of men. So think about this. That one blood is Adam's blood. And you here today, whether you are dark and lovely or light and lovely, whatever version of lovely you are, you all came from Adam. From one blood, God has made all nations of men. Now, God out of one blood made all nations of men, but out of one blood he's cleansed all nations of men. Are you ready for this? This is Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll. Oh my goodness. Oh, we were just singing that. And to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. The man out of whose one blood came all nations of men, through that blood passed on the defect. But here, through the blood of the last Adam, all the nations and all the peoples of the world that were impacted by what went wrong in the Garden of Eden now have redemption. And those of every tribe, tongue, people, nations, everyone, nobody's left out. Nobody's left out. What Jesus did is for everybody. Think of the words that the angel said on Christmas morning. They said, I bring good news of great joy, which will be to all people. God spoke to Simeon over in Luke chapter 2. When Jesus was born and being dedicated, presented in the temple, and he went on in there and he spoke words. He said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared for all people. Jesus says it's for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. Yes. You know, in Genesis, God had to do something that he did not want to do because it did not go the way God wanted it to. What Adam did was not according to God's plan. It was in opposition to God's plan. The good thing is that God already knew what was going on and had a plan. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. But it says in Genesis that the Lord had to get two big angels with flaming swords to guard the way against another tree there. Not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were guarding the way against this tree called the tree of life. And many believe that one of the reasons that those angels were guarding the tree is that God did not want Adam to get stuck for eternity in this messed up state he was in without a chance of being rescued and delivered. So you had these angels guarding the way of the tree of life. And you think, whatever happened to that tree? And then you go all the way to the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. And the picture that's being painted there in verse 1, it says that you see a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God. And then you see this. Keep it up there. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What Jesus did is for everybody. Amen. This tree of life, the leaves of the tree, are for the healing of the nations. Now, the word nations is a Greek word called ethnos, from which we would understand getting the word ethnic and ethnicity. So the healing of all ethnic groups. But what about that word healing? This is interesting. And I'm not looking to make something out of it that it's not, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what the word is. It's a Greek word called therapeia, where you can readily see the connection between that and the word therapy. God has hooked it up where all nations impacted by the fall, impacted by what Adam did to mess everybody up. God has a big therapy session ready for everybody. Amen. To get us all back on track, to get us all restored to manufacturer settings. Hey, somebody lay down on the Lord's couch for a while. Hey, come on now. This is a divine therapy session here. God is going to go ahead and offer all whosoever will the opportunity to get involved in this tree, to get the medicine that comes from these leaves, to receive therapy, to receive restoration, and to get back to the original condition that God created us to be in. That is called Christmas, a fresh start. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord together. Stand up together. Let's give God some praise if you're grateful. If you're grateful, don't stop. Keep praising him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful. Oh, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for Jesus. We're so grateful we weren't left in the mess we're in. We weren't left in that condition. But we stand here today restored. We stand here today knowing that by putting our faith in him, by being in him, that rather than experiencing the fall and continuing to experience the fall, that even though we still live in a fallen world, we don't have to live like fallen people. We can live like redeemed people. We can recognize this, that the impact of what Jesus, the last Adam, did is greater, infinitely greater than what the first Adam did. We believe that. We believe that. Hey, y'all, if you're here today and you recognize, you know what? I've never heard this good news before.
You're on. Hi, good morning. We're so glad you were able to join us today. Amen. I'm here with my lovely friend, Miss Irene.
Good morning.
Isn't she so pretty? Look at this outfit.
Christmas.
So fancy. Well, we are so glad you were able to be with us. And I just want to say, from the very beginning of service, in the announcements, my brother said, keep Christ in Christmas. Amen. You're busy making lists, running around, buying gifts, which is exactly what I was doing yesterday, all day, wrapping till the wee hours of the morning. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, I thought to myself, did I even think at all yesterday that Christmas is about Christ? So let us all remember to keep Christ in Christmas. Amen.
Amen. Sherry, that's a good point. That's a good point. We all do it, right?
Yeah.
We all, especially women. Yeah. We get so busy and we think we have to do all these things. But, you know, Pastor Ray was saying that, you know, Christmas is a celebration of a fresh start. Mm, so what it's all about is that God sent his son to us because through Adam, the first Adam, everybody entered this world in sin. We didn't have a choice. But God sent Jesus so that we could be redeemed from that, to reconcile us to himself.
Amen.
Reconciliation is a restoration of a friendship or a fellowship after estrangement. That's what he did for us. Mm. I couldn't give up one of my kids. You know, I just.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I can't imagine it.
His only son. He gave his son for us so that we could be restored to that original condition. Not only that, he gave us his glory and his honor and his grace, which is his favor and his strength and his ability and his power to us.
Amen.
Why? Because he doesn't see us as defective anymore, as Pastor Ray said, but we've been redeemed, restored. But Jesus is a gentleman. Adam, we didn't have the first Adam, we didn't have a choice, right? We all entered into sin. Jesus doesn't do that to us. We have to invite him in. Mm. He doesn't just storm us and say, this is the way you're going to live and this is who you are. He says, it's here. Here you go. Would you let me come into your life? Mm. And that's what Christmas is all about. Mm-hmm. It's that celebration of a fresh start.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen. 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 Well, if you enjoyed that service, we would love to see you in person on Sunday mornings at 9:30, mm-hmm. Wednesday nights at 7, on 95 Sagamore Road. You can also call or text the number that's at the bottom of your screen. Mm-hmm. And we would love to see you and love on you and hug you in person.
Absolutely. Right. It's so much better to come in and place is decorated for Christmas. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And we would love to have you, like Sherry said. So, yeah, come on in if you can.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.